This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 119. It is Dr. Jimmy. Many of us have babies on the brain this time of year. We've got new foals hitting the ground, and all of the hopes and the dreams are just flooding our minds as we daydream about the future. And, you know, I would say that generally, you know, as horse owners, we understand, or at least we've talked in the past, about how important a mare's nutrition program is to the health of the baby that she's carrying, or the baby that she's caring for through her milk. If you missed the last episode that dug into that concept, I highly recommend that you go check that out. It was episode 113. It was called Influencing DNA, and it covered the topic of epigenetics and kind of dug into how the mare's environment, her food, her handling practices, all those kinds of things could kind of indirectly be passed on to future generations by way of certain DNA characteristics. It's really quite fascinating, and if you're playing in the breeding game at all, it is definitely worth a listen. Anyway, we understand that we need to feed mares the proper nutrients in order to supply the fetus or the nursing foal with the nutrition that it needs. So a question that arose from our listener base was, you know, what do you do if the mare is just grossly overweight? This is a fantastic question. But before I answer it, I need to remind you to go follow or like Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist on Facebook and Instagram. And if you are listening on a podcasting app that allows you to leave a rating or a review, please, please go do that for me. This helps others find the podcast, and it just helps us spread, you know, some good in the horse world. Not to mention, it's the positive reviews and those 5-star ratings that keep me motivated to continue doing this podcast. So please go show me some love. All right, let's get into the episode. There are a lot of horses out there who are what we would call easy keepers. Okay, so certain breeds are more likely to become overweight quicker than others. And then even certain bloodlines within certain breeds can carry the predisposition of being an easy keeper. I guess maybe for the sake of extreme clarity, I should probably explain what I mean by the term easy keeper, just in case it doesn't translate well into other languages. Since we have people listening from so many different countries, I'm trying to be more mindful of that. What I'm talking about here are those horses who have a very, let's call it slow metabolism. They seem to stay fat even when they are being fed what seems like very little, okay? So in the U.S., we call these, quote, easy keepers, which would be the opposite of hard keepers, okay? So hard keepers are the horses that always seem, you know, they're just a little bit skinnier, a little bit ribby. Their top line just is never really that great. You have to be very intentional about feeding, you know, high quality hay and appropriate amounts of grain to a, quote, hard keeper. If I were to generalize, you know, from a breed standpoint, you know, like thoroughbreds, for example, would generally lean more towards the hard keeping side of things, whereas, you know, quarter horses would lean more towards the easy keeping side of things. But that's not a black and white line, right? There are plenty of quarter horses who are hard keepers and vice versa. Now, the concern with an easy keeper is that we get them too fat. And yes, that is a thing. You can have your horses too fat, which I've also talked about in past episodes. I believe episodes 110 and 111 cover overweight horses and metabolic horses. So go check those out if you think that you may have an extremely easy keeper on your hands. Now, the point of this episode is to explain how to handle an easy keeping mare who is carrying a baby or who is providing for a baby who who has elevated nutritional needs, right? I think this is where people get hung up, is in understanding which nutrients need to be elevated and then what food sources are best for accomplishing that need. Let me give you a human-related example, at least the best that I can. When a woman becomes pregnant, the first recommendation that will often be made is for the woman to go on to prenatal vitamins and then often a fish oil or an omega-3 supplement. Now, this recommendation will be made regardless of whether the woman's body mass index is considered normal or overweight, okay? The reason here is the growing fetus needs extra vitamins, extra minerals, needs the fatty acids, the essential fatty acids, right, in order to develop properly. It also needs appropriate amino acids, which, you know, I personally believe get really overlooked in the human diet. I don't think that pregnant women generally are eating enough protein, but that's a little bit off topic for the purposes of this episode. Okay, so what is not recommended for a pregnant woman would be a diet of cupcakes, candy bars, fried foods, right? All of those really fast digesting, high sugar, high carb, high sugar type of foods. And the reason that we don't want pregnant women eating those is because they are all very high in calories, but low in real nutritive value. So poor nutritional value, right? Lots of excess calories going into the body, but they're basically useless calories because those calories are not carrying helpful levels of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, omega fatty acids, right? Now, let me try to parallel this to a broodmare. When a mare is pregnant, my first recommendation is to make sure that she's getting appropriate levels of vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. And then I'm going to typically add a fish oil or omega-3 supplement because that will help with those essential fatty acids are going to help with development of the brain and the nervous system of that baby inside. So what I don't recommend are all of the empty sugary calories. So things like oats, corn, barley, peppermints, sugar cubes, apples, horse treats, all the quote, you know, empty nutritional items for a horse. Okay. That's step one. Now, if you have a pregnant mare who is overweight and you have found yourself in a position where maybe you are currently feeding oats, that's the first thing I would cut. Okay. Oats are really empty calories, right? In the horse world. They provide a lot of calories, but they don't provide a lot of actual nutrition, meaning they're pretty poor sources of vitamins, minerals. They don't have a whole lot going on in terms of omega fatty acids. They also don't really have much going on for the amino acid profiles. Okay. So by feeding a mare, you know, just straight oats, really all you're doing is just adding to her weight problem and not really helping the nutritional needs of the baby. Okay. It's kind of like if a pregnant woman were to just eat, you know, candy bars and fast food all of the time. And when I say fast food, like just French fries, right? not even the meat that comes in the fast food joints, like just French fries. okay. So in the same way that dietitians and doctors will put a woman on prenatal vitamins, I would be putting a mare on a diet balancer if she's overweight. Now, as I've mentioned in the past, my two favorites are 101 Diet Balancer and Nutrimix Plus. Both of those are from Stride Animal Health. I like them because, number one, I know the entirety of the formula because I'm the only one who has access to the formula. And then number two, I know that every ingredient in there has a purpose and it is included in levels that are meaningful to the horse. So those two things are very important to me. And I have the luxury of knowing the ins and outs of both of those products because I'm the formulator for them. I don't have that luxury across the market for every product. So it's hard for me to have confidence in some of those things out there just because there's things from the formulation side that aren't always reflected in a label or a tag. So again, that probably is a whole nother podcast topic and episode in and of itself. Now, the next step is to consider what the forage program looks like for this mare, okay? Forage can pack a lot of calories, or it can pack very few calories. It can pack a whole lot of sugar or very little sugar. And forage might contain really high amounts of protein and amino acids, or it might contain very little. So the type of forage is very important for what you are trying to accomplish with your particular mare. If I have a thin mare and I need calories and I need protein, I'm going to lean pretty hard on alfalfa. And I might even lean on some green grass too, if I have that available. Now, if I have an overweight mare, I'm going to restrict green grass. I'm going to limit, maybe even totally eliminate alfalfa, at least for a while, maybe the entire pregnancy. I'm also going to lean into warm season grass species for hay. Okay, so warm season grass hay would have a low sugar content. So if that's an option for you, that's where I would go. If you're living in a colder climate, warm season grasses are, you know, so warm season grasses would be like Bermuda grass. Those type of hays might not be available to you. And so if you are in a colder climate, you are going to have to lean into your cool season grass species, which would be things like, you know, Timothy, Orchard, you know, Brome, those type of grasses. Now, I am a really big proponent of having your hay tested and knowing exactly what is in what you are feeding, especially to a pregnant mare, right? Hay can be so deceiving. It might look really green and gorgeous, and you might think it's really nutritious, but I can assure you the only way to know what you have is to have that hay tested. I always like to play this game with myself, where I will try to guess what the quality is on a hay that I see before I see the actual lab results. And trust me, it is not possible to know what a hay tests just by looking at it. I have been fooled many, many, many times. Now, our target for a pregnant mare is to have her body condition at about a 6 on the Hennecke scale, give or take. You're okay kind of in that 5 to 7 range, but 6 is your good target. Now, please go look that up, the Hennecke system, if you're not familiar. I will drop a link to it in the show notes, but it's basically a range of body condition characteristics that the equine industry uses to assess fat cover on a horse. And the reason that we want everyone to be familiar with the Hennecke system and we want everyone to use the Hennecke system is so that we have some stability in what we're looking at as far as true fat cover. Because different disciplines and different breeds are going to have different, let's call it ideals, the ideal look of a horse, right? So if you know, let's say you're showing halter horses, right? You might want those horses to be carrying a little bit more fat than if you have a thoroughbred racehorse, okay? You don't want a thoroughbred racehorse that is overweight, right? So you might have a thoroughbred racehorse just to tick on the thinner side. And so, you know, we don't want our individual disciplines or our individual breeds to have all, you know, their own scales of what they think is right. We also need a system that takes away essentially the muscling, right? Because different breeds have different amounts of muscle, right? So quarter horses, for instance, are very muscular. And so a very muscular quarter horse can be deceiving in looks. They can actually, they might look like they are carrying a lot of body weight or a lot of fat, but much of that might really be muscle. You know, whereas maybe you go look at an Arabian and that Arabian maybe doesn't have that same amount of muscle as a quarter horse does, but has, you know, plenty of fat. Breeds can be deceiving if you stack them side by side. You have to look through the breed. You have to look through the muscle, if you will. And you really have to just look only at the fat deposits. And that's the beauty of the Hennecke scale. Horses all, regardless of discipline, regardless of breed, they all deposit fat in approximately the same locations. And so we can use the Hennecke system to look at those specific areas of fat deposits and determine the horse's true body condition. Okay. So again, I will drop a link in the show notes that will take you to a little chart that has both a picture and a description of each of the body condition scores. So the range goes from 1 to 9. What we call the ideal score is a 5, which means you cannot distinguish ribs visually, right? So like you can't see ribs, but you can easily feel them. If you were to take a flat hand and take your palm and run it across the horse's side, you should be able to easily feel the ribs. Now, the reason that we want our mares to be a tick over that 5 is because their body will go through a very heavy nutrient demand immediately after giving birth, right? Lactation is extremely taxing to the mare's body, and she will deplete her own reserves in order to provide for her baby. Okay, she's going to sacrifice herself in order to provide nutrition to her baby. Now, in addition, if you're trying to rebreed that mare, if you're trying to breed her back, she will have a better chance of conceiving if she is in that moderate to moderately fleshy body condition. Okay, now another thing to keep in mind. A mare's nutrient needs in the first 5 months of pregnancy are exactly the same as if she was not carrying a baby. So this is the time where it is easy to slip up and get a mare too fat too soon, because what happens is a lot of people go into this mindset, like the moment that she's confirmed pregnant, they go into this mindset that she's, you know, quote, eating for two. And that's not the case, right? The baby does not put extra calorie demands on her until you get into like month 6, 7, 8, 9 of pregnancy. So if you were to spend, you know, 5 months, 6 months pouring the food to her in the front half of her pregnancy, I can assure you that come month 6, you're going to have an overweight mare. Instead, during those first 5 months, as long as she's not wet, or in other words, as long as she is not providing for a current baby through milk, right? Like she's not lactating, then you should treat her just like any old gelding in terms of the hay quality and the amount of grain that you're feeding. And that's if you even need to give grain, right? The only reason to give grain would be is if she is a little bit skinny and needs some extra calories. Or if maybe your hay is really low in protein and you need to provide some extra protein and amino acids. So if she doesn't have, if she doesn't need elevated protein and she doesn't need calories from grain, then you can just use a diet balancer and maybe a handful of feed, just kind of as a feel good for you and the mare. Or you can use it as a carrier, right? If you're going to go with maybe a powdered version of a vitamin and mineral diet balancer. Sometimes those, not sometimes, obviously, powdered balancers are going to need something to stick to for the horse to eat it. And so maybe you just use, a handful or two of some kind of grain, or, you can even use beet pulp shreds or alfalfa pellets, or, just something kind of high fiber, low starch, low sugar, something pretty simple. And then, add a little bit of water to it and get that balancer to stick to it, that powdered balancer to stick to it. So if you were to opt for the Nutrimix Plus, that's kind of the route that I would recommend going with that. And the reason that I would choose the Nutrimix Plus over the 101 diet balancer is if you have a mare that maybe struggles with her hoof quality, that Nutrimix Plus is going to have a ramped up kind of hoof health component to it. Particularly is going to be providing 100 milligrams per day of biotin, which is really essential. But other than that, everything else would be the same as 101 diet balancer. The only other difference is there are no, there's no carriers because the Nutrimix Plus is a powder. So you don't need any kind of, alfalfa or anything like that to try to make it into a pellet. So it just is strictly, vitamins, minerals. So quote, active ingredients, if you will. So that's kind of how I choose between those two products. Now, let's say you have a mare that is, somewhere between months 6 and 11 of gestation, and she is clearly overweight. What do you do? Okay, first, you get very critical of the hay that you are feeding. And when I say get very critical, what I mean is test that hay please, so that you know exactly how much protein and how many calories are in each pound or kilogram that you are feeding, okay? Then feed the minimum amount of that hay in order to meet her daily needs. So this is where you either need to pull out your copy of the NRC or you need to work with an equine nutritionist and have them help you calculate how many pounds or how many kilograms of your specific hay that it takes to meet the needs of this mare based on her specific target body weight, right? And that's all according to those nutrients are all according to what's in that hay that you have, which you only know from the hay analysis that you received, right? So you can't go to social media and say, hey, my mare's overweight, what should I feed? And expect anybody on the internet to be able to tell you an accurate answer. Like, that's just not even possible. There's just too much information that's missing for anyone to give you a solid recommendation, right? We need the information from the NRC, we need your mare's target body weight, and we need to know how much is in your hay based on the hay analysis that you have. Okay, those are the components that are needed in order to help guide you in how much you need to feed your mare in order to keep her from continuing to become more overweight or to help pull a little bit of weight off of her. Okay, so the goal here is you're trying to meet the absolute minimum needs in terms of daily fiber intake and calories. Then you use a low calorie diet balancer to round out the gaps in the nutrition of the hay. And trust me, when I say all hay has gaps, it does. I have yet to meet a hay analysis that proves that I don't need to provide extra vitamin and mineral support to a horse, okay? Especially a pregnant mare. Again, I'm trying to meet protein and amino acid needs. I'm trying to meet vitamins, I'm trying to meet minerals, and I'm trying to meet those essential fatty acids, all while trying to minimize the calories and still hit a minimum daily dry matter intake. And my target there is I want to hit at least 1% of body weight. So I want to be feeding at least 1 pound for every 100 pounds, okay? But not more than 1.5% of body weight, right? Again, these are kind of just general ranges. A nutritionist can help you dial this in. The only time I would really go over that 1.5% of body weight would be if, you know, I've got a hay that maybe is super low in calories. It might let me go up to 1.25% or maybe even 2% of body weight. But that would take some fairly, I'm going to call it some fairly poor hay. And in that situation, you'd likely also need to lean on an amino acid supplement with your diet balancer. Just because if a hay has that few of calories, it also probably has that little protein. And so you need to balance back and supplement back with an amino acid supplement. So if you do find yourself needing kind of this extra surge or pump of amino acids, my go-to is a product called Competitive Edge. Now, I would also like to make sure that, you know, the mare has plenty of room to move around and make sure that she's getting some exercise. If she's stalled, get her out, hand walk her, put her on a hot walker, you know, just do something to get her some good solid movement every day. Now, not only will that help her burn some extra calories, it will also increase blood flow and circulation to the fetus, which is then going to help with nutrient delivery. Now, let's talk about some things I would not do with a pregnant mare that is overweight. Do not add a whole bunch of oils to her feed, right? Oils are just pure calories. Do not feed large amounts of rice bran. Again, very high in calories. Do not feed fat supplements, right? Again, high in calories. Don't feed oats. Don't feed corn. Don't feed barley. I mean, really any cereal grain. Don't douse her feed with molasses. In fact, if you're feeding any kind of feed at all, it needs to be a very small amount and the only enough of it to get her to eat the vitamins and minerals that you're trying to get in. Don't let her live 24/7 on green pasture. Okay, so green grass contains a lot of sugar and it can really contribute to obesity and metabolic conditions, especially in an easy keeper. I would hold off on all the treats, right? The only exception would be, you know, maybe an occasional alfalfa pellet or two as a treat, like if absolutely necessary. And whatever you do, do not put her on a molasses lick tub of any kind. Not even one that says that it is for vitamin and mineral support. That is just straight up a piece of candy that has no business in a horse's pen. Oh, I just said that out loud. Okay, so obviously the word is out. I am not a fan of molasses tubs for horses at all, period. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Last thing, if you have an overweight mare, I would not turn her into a pen with full access to hay. And I would also not be feeding straight alfalfa, right? Both situations are just going to lead to an excessive intake of calories on a daily basis. So I think that pretty much covers it. I'm sure you guys will have other questions, or maybe some of you have some tips, tricks that you've used in the past in this kind of situation. I would certainly love to hear about those over on my social channels. So I will drop a post specifically for this episode where we can continue that conversation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.